How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I'm Jay King. I'm going to do a collaboration today with the Locked On Thunder podcast. That's run by Fred Katz of the Norman Transcript, one of the greatest Thunder minds around. Got a lot of knowledge about the game, a lot of knowledge about Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, the whole crew. So today we're going to be talking about one guy who I think is probably the most fascinating, has the most fascinating situation of any player in the NBA right now, and that's Russell Westbrook. And why it's so fascinating to me is just because, you know, Kevin Durant left. Does he want to stay there? Does he want to force his way out? He only has 1 year left on his current contract. So there's a lot of layers to that. He could possibly renegotiate his current deal to extend his deal. But let's talk to Fred about that, because Fred has the details there. Fred knows plenty about that. He's going to give us a perspective from Oklahoma City. Really appreciate you for coming on, Fred. So first of all, I guess, explain to us, because I think a lot of people have these misperceptions about what a possible contract extension would be for him. Explain to us what that would be.
So basically, Russell Westbrook, people think that he, or people, some people say that he can't make as much money if he extends, but he would actually, if he extends, he's making almost $18 million this year. He could get almost a $9 million raise on that, jump up to $26.5 million for this season alone. And his money wouldn't be that affected in the ensuing years beyond. You know, the thing is that if he became a free agent, he could sign a 5-year deal then. When he extends, he could only sign for 3 years on top of the upcoming one. So it wouldn't be quite as many years, but the money in the years up front actually wouldn't make a difference. I mean, the raises are a little different, but the money overall is really not such a big deal. So when people talk about, you know, maybe Russell Westbrook wants a longer term deal, maybe he wants a security of a 5-year deal in 2017, that's possible. And that's a reasonable thing to think. But, you know, when people talk about how the money is different, the year-to-year money is different, it's not really the case.
Exactly. So the reason we're having this podcast now is because the Thunder just decided to rescind the qualifying offer to Dion Waiters. And why that impacts Russell Westbrook is because now the Thunder have enough cap space to offer Westbrook that extension or the renegotiation, which would bump his deal up $9 million this year, in return for adding at least one more season onto his deal. And obviously the hope is there that they can do that and that they don't have to lose Westbrook after they just lost Durant. And they're operating like a team that believes it at least has a chance to keep Russell Westbrook and convince him to sign that extension and make sure that he doesn't hit free agency 1 year from now. Obviously that would be priority number one. Keep Westbrook. Keep the superstar you have. But from your perspective, Fred, what is the amount of hope there? What is the fear there? Is it an optimistic feeling in Oklahoma City? What is going on in that Thunder front office right now after Kevin Durant has left and now they're trying to convince Russell Westbrook to commit to them for at least another season so that they don't have to go through this whole process a year from now where he might leave for nothing?
I think there's got to be some amount of hope that they can keep him. I think if they thought their chances were zero, then I assume that they would have just let that qualifying offer to Dion Waiters stay, because if you bring him back for that value, that's pretty okay. So, I mean, what they were worried about is, I assume, is you know, they need to keep that cap space open to re-sign Russell Westbrook. I think the Thunder front office is mostly realists. I don't think they're really going to romanticize the process of trying to re-sign Russell Westbrook and trick themselves into thinking they have a chance when there's just nothing there. I mean, it's not like a Lloyd Christmas situation. So I think that's – you think that's the first time Sam Presti has been compared to Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I mean, you hear Rick Carlisle to Jim Carrey a lot. But
yeah, that's true.
I've never heard the Lloyd Christmas Sam Presti one.
At some point, I'm going to do a story on Sam Presti's fashion evolution. It's all
the hair has really evolved, I would say.
It's unbelievable. Go back and Google a picture of like Sam Presti and Kevin Durant at the 2007 draft. And like he looks so different. Now he's wearing like those slick tight skinny suits. He's got like JJ Redick hair. Like he's got those nice frames. Good-looking guy. He's very, way more stylish now than he was 10 years ago. I forgot what we were talking about. This is my
so that probably means he has like that probably relates to Russell Westbrook, right? Like now the GM's more fashionable, Russell Westbrook more likely to stay.
There you go. That's exactly it. But yeah, I don't think Sam is gonna trick himself into thinking that something that is totally unrealistic is going to happen. I do think he's a bright guy and he's an analytical guy, and I don't necessarily mean that in a number sense. I think he tends to feel out every possible scenario and then operate in what his best chances are if he does each of them. And I believe that Russell Westbrook would be gone or on the verge of gone or closer to gone than he is right now if the Thunder didn't think it was at all a possibility that he could re-up with an extension of some sort.
Yeah, it seems to me like he has a lot of reasons to stay in Oklahoma City. You know, first of all, Steven Adams, one of the better big men, young big men in the league. Better big men, period. It's Victor Oladipo, who he's pretty solid already. A lot of upside there, I think, in a different situation when he doesn't have to be the man carrying the offense, which is something I don't think he's ever been equipped for. They've got some other young pieces, Sabonis, Robertson, who I liked in the playoffs. That's not a bad rock. Cantor, if he learns how to iron out some of those defensive liabilities, he's such a skilled offensive player. So there are a lot of pieces there. And then on top of that, the $9 million that he can get from extending his contract. And $9 million is a big deal. Like that's a lot of money. And then he would be up for a $200 million contract after that extension runs up in 2 years. Assuming he does do that through 2017, 2018, he would be up for a maximum contract of more than $200 million. That's a lot of money. So Oklahoma City is a pretty attractive place right now to him, or it should be. And part of me wants him to stay there and sign the extension and put off free agency. And I want to see what would happen. What would he be like with that team without Kevin Durant? He could be just an absolute stud. And it would be fascinating, man, to just see him without Durant, not holding it back, because Durant never held anyone back on the basketball court, but limiting his creative side. let's put it like that. I want to see what Westbrook will do. Will it be like 32, 11, and 9 per game? Will it be triple-doubles almost every night? Will it be something different, something better, something worse? The possibilities are just endless. And he's one of the most fascinating players. I think he's a top-five player. He's also like a divisive guy because for as good as he is, he's not the easiest guy for a star to play with. He's not the easiest guy to coach. Like Scott Brooks must have tried for years and years to get more ball movement, more of a system in there, especially down the crunch time, and it just didn't happen. And I thought they made progress there in Oklahoma City this year under Billy Donovan, but Westbrook. It's tough to rein that guy in. It's like trying to rein in a hurricane, and no, I don't think anyone out there has the ability to rein in a hurricane, no matter how good these coaches are. So I kind of want to see it. I want to see that hurricane. I want to see what Westbrook would be for a full year, not by himself, but more by himself than he ever has been. With a screw you Durant mentality, with like all that, I'd be so in on that Russell Westbrook experience. I don't know. Like, it would be frustrating to watch sometimes. But it would just be fascinating. Like, he is to me, he's like the most divisive top five player in the league.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think also part of it when we have this conversation, something we have to talk about is that I think Russ did change his style a little bit this past year from what he was before. Like 2 years ago, that last season under Scott Brooks, like there were also other injuries other than Durant. Ibaka got hurt and some other guys got hurt. And that was, you know, he had that game where he scored 50 plus and took 43 shots. And I thought there were points where he was, and I think Russ is great. I think he's, you know, a top five or six player. But, you know, I thought there were times when he was really hurting his team late in the year just because he was, you know, taking shots out of triple teams and really hurting them. But this past year, I thought he kind of improved in terms of his passing awareness. Maybe it was his passing willingness or his awareness. I'm not quite sure what it was, but whatever it was, he had his best passing season ever, and it's not just because the assists were up. I mean, he improved as a guy kick for corner threes. He improved, you know, passing out of the pick and roll and dumping off to someone like Steven Adams or Enes Kanter, who both have pretty good hands on those dump offs when Russ kind of makes those fancy bounce passes and stuff. So I thought that you know, maybe that's something that carries over. Like, I don't know if that was necessarily just because Kevin Durant was there. Like, I think that's something that could carry over. So maybe we do see a slightly different mentality, like still shooting a lot, still commanding the ball a lot because that's just in his personality, but doing it in a hyper intelligent fashion, I think.
Yeah. And do you think he would like something in him? Like there have been reports that maybe, because Durant left, it kind of steeled him to stay. Does that seem right to you? That seems like a tough sell to me. Like, but maybe it's not. Maybe he is that type of guy where it's like, all right, Kevin's gone. Like, I want to prove that it can be done in Oklahoma City. I want to prove that this situation was right. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know, man. It's one of those I'll believe it when I see it things. Like, When he extends, like, I'll believe that he extended. And when he resigns, I'll believe he resigned. And when he gets traded, I'll believe that he didn't give them the 100% he was coming back. Like, that's really it. Like, I Russ is hard for me to break down. Like, I can't play armchair psychologist with Russ. I probably shouldn't do it with other guys, but I can't read it. I don't know. I can lie. You want to play hot take game right now? We can play
hot take. We could do hot take. We could just try to get into Russell Westbrook's mind, which is completely impossible. I would doubt that those close to Russ have any idea what he thinks about Kevin Durant leaving. He doesn't seem like the type of guy to me who probably sits down with his friends and just discusses his feelings.
Russ also, I don't want to make it sound like I'm making fun of the report, because some of the reports that have come out on that stuff are like all from, they're not from like hack reporters. They're all from really, really good reporters who all do really good jobs. And I believe them. I'm just saying, from my personal opinion, I don't know. I also think it's important to point out, though, that like whatever Russ believes right now, like unless he's willing to sign an extension because of it, it doesn't matter. Like, he can change his mind. At this point last year, Kevin Durant was re-signing. Like, Kevin Durant wanted to re-sign at this point last year. People thought Kevin Durant was going to re-sign a month ago. And things changed. I mean, look, we know that the recruiting process from Golden State started over a month ago, but things changed, you know? And so I don't know if what Russell Westbrook believes today is necessarily of any sort of importance, because he is a human being who changes his mind, and human beings, you know, their opinions change throughout seasons. You know, what if a defender come out and they're not as good as we think they are, and he decides, I'd rather go play for a better team. You know, that would be a perfectly reasonable thing for him to do. So I don't know. I don't even know if it matters, to be honest.
Yeah. And assuming he does say no to the extension, like let's say he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to at least test the market 1 year from now. Do what you need to do, Oklahoma City. And they do explore the trade market. What are the teams out there that you see might be fits for a Westbrook trade?
From the Thunder perspective, I mean, there have been five teams that I've kind of been touting. So, you know, let's get to your team last. How's that sound?
We'll talk Celtics last.
Okay, so Lakers, for the obvious reasons, you know, they've got the young pieces that could do it. They could fill out salary. You know, Ingram could work. Russell could work. You know, I don't know if Randall works because the Thunder have bigs. But, you know, Ingram and Russell would make sense. Minnesota is something that could make sense. Chris Dunn, Andrew Wiggins would certainly come up in those conversations. Karl Anthony Towns would certainly be shooed away if that's something that you want. I mean, I don't think, salary aside, like, I don't even think the fact that it's not a legal trade we'll ignore. But, like, I don't even think Minnesota would do Russ for – Minnesota definitely wouldn't do Russ for Towns straight up. So there's no way that that would be a thing. But the rest of their young pieces, I really like the packages Denver could offer, honestly. I think Moutier is really good. I think Jokic is really good. There are other guys that could add in a salary filler. But I don't know if Denver would necessarily feel comfortable doing that without a commitment from him. That being said, Denver made a run at Dwayne Wade, so maybe they feel like they can go out and get somebody. Phoenix has some pieces. I think Devin Booker is a really solid player who could develop well with a young roster. And then there's Boston. I don't really love the Boston package, to be honest. Like,
what would you think the package would be?
Well, the only thing that I would want from okay, so the Thunder, everyone on the Thunder roster is between 22 and 24, and Sabonis is 20. Yeah. Russ is 27, and Ersan Ilyasova is presumably not necessarily part of the future. He's on the wrong side of 30. So you're basically moving forward with a roster of everyone 22 to 24, and Sabonis is 20. And that is a young roster, and there are talented players in that mix who can become legitimate players, you know, led by Steven Adams and Kanter and Robertson and Oladipo and all those guys. I just don't see – Boston's got guys on good contracts, but unless they're willing to give up Crowder, who's got 4 years left – I mean, Isaiah Thomas is on a great contract, but he's only got 2 years. Bradley, same thing, 2 years. And by the time the Thunder kind of hit to where they want to be with those players, I those guys are not necessarily going to be assets anymore. They're going to be free agents who are going to get really big contracts. So I'd rather get – look, if those two picks were up for grab, the two Brooklyn picks, then that's something. But I could just – I don't know if that's something the Celtics are going to want to do for someone they think could easily just be a rental. You know, you want to give up those picks so that you can finish second in the Eastern Conference and then lose in the Eastern Conference Finals and then have him walk. Like, I don't know if that's necessarily a move that you make. So I just don't – everyone talks about the Celtics. I just don't know if the Celtics make sense as a trade partner.
What about Jaylen Brown, Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson, and one of the Brooklyn picks, and then it's an extend and trade, so Boston gets him for at least 2 years and tries to sell him.
Okay, if it's an extend and trade, then we're talking. You know, I don't know enough about Jaylen Brown to have a legitimate opinion on that, to be honest. If it were Chris Dunn, I'd be more into it.
Yeah, that was why Celtics fans, I think, were really ticked off on draft night.
Chris Dunn, I think, has more trade value around the league than Jaylen Brown. And it's not just because he gets paid minimally less.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think Dunn's value is higher. And honestly, Celtics fans booed the team owner when he came out to announce the draft pick on draft night at the TD Garden. And it was because of that. It was because everybody was reporting that Dunn had the most value around the league. And Dunn had this trade value. And Celtics fans are hype for a trade, and then they picked Brown, who they thought was the best prospect there, and they did it for themselves, not for anybody else, and that was that. So yeah, I do think Dunn would have more value. I do think Brown is going to be a good player, though. He was fun in summer league, but yeah, back to Russell.
He's going to be fun for you to cover.
He is. Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
He's a very interesting guy. Smart, very smart kid.
And he's very confident. He is a most confident human being. It's like he was talking about ripping people's heads off at his draft introductory press conference. He was talking about not just being a top three pick, not just proving himself as a top three pick from this draft, but proving himself as a top three player league wide. So no confidence issues there.
Yeah, no, and he's like very bright too. Like he's going to end up being fun for you. He could be your replacement from our favorite interview, who you lost this summer. How upset were you that you don't get to interview Evan Turner every day anymore?
R.I.P. Evan Turner, man. Like that's a tough era. He is the greatest interview I've ever encountered because he's really funny. He's open and he would say anything. Like he went from like one time he said Kyle Korver couldn't guard a soul, and he and Korver are like good friends. It's like Kyle Korver can't guard a soul, man. Like they would work out together in the off season sometimes. They were former teammates. And he actually had to call and apologize to Kyle Korver for
that. Oh, that's great.
He would just say anything. He would compare himself to Michael Jordan sometimes, but do it in a way that you knew he knew he was being completely outraged.
Oh, he had my favorite quote of the year in the NBA this year was after he like kicked to Jay Crowder for a game winning three against the 76ers. 76ers were like 0-16 at the time. And he kicked to Jay Crowder for a game winning three and he said, yeah, you know, I thought about taking a shot, but then I had that Michael Jordan passing to Steve Kerr moment. No, I was like, I'll kick it to Jay.
Evan Turner, man. R.I.P. the Evan Turner era. Seriously, I will miss that guy.
I'm sure he's still
all of us reporters.
I'm sure he's still selling his shirts with the logo made up, though.
Yeah, and all the players would wear them. He is one of a kind. I can't wait to for the Portland Celtics game, so that we can have the Evan Turner reunion stories. That's what I'm really waiting for. So you're not hyped on the Celtics Russell Westbrook pack?
No, I mean, look, if you can get the Brooklyn picks for it, then that changes it. I would just be, I mean, I guess if he were willing to extend upon the trade, then that's yeah. Something. I guess I'm operating under the assumption that he won't, I guess.
Yeah, they do have enough cap space to make that an option, or they could clear enough cap space to make that an option. Mm-hmm. So that would be interesting. And then the some of the teams you mentioned to me, like Denver especially, probably Phoenix. I like their futures. I like their futures a lot. But I'm not sure if there's enough tangible there for Westbrook to say, you know what, I want to stay there. I want to play with these guys. I think Booker, I've said this before on the podcast, I think he's going to be a multi-time All-Star. But to me, it's like, do I want to go over there and play with Bender and Chris and wait for 3 or 4 years until they grow up and commit to that? Or do I want to test free agency again in a year? And Denver is kind of similar to me. Like I like Moutier. I love Jokic. Jurkic, same thing. I like him a lot. I think Jamal Murray is going to be good. I like a lot of their pieces there. Hernan Gomez. I mean, up and down that roster, there's just fun young talent. But that's another team. Like, does he like that future for now? Because as Kevin Durant showed, guys don't leave to places for what's going to be. They normally have this view like, okay, what is this team going to be when I step onto it right now? And I think some of those teams would have that issue of surrounding Westbrook with the right amount of talent. And maybe to him, Boston's a little different because they had 48 wins and they just added Al Horford. So maybe Boston would have a better chance than at least a couple of those teams to have a more hope of keeping Westbrook into the future.
Right, and we know Russ respects Horford's game, not just because Horford is really good, but also because he was a guy who Russ, Russ was recruiting him to the Thunder this offseason. So, you know, that's something that Russ would obviously want to do. I mean, I think you make a good point with the if he were to extend upon the trade. That's something that I think would make a big difference. I mean, I guess that depends on how much. If you can get Crowder, you can get Brown, you can get 2017 Brooklyn pick, which is going to be like what a top three pick for sure. Unless of course something crazy happens to the lottery, that's a nice package.
Yeah, and then the other thing about trading for Russell Westbrook, and I believe he's a top five player. I think he's awesome at basketball. He's such a high usage guy that you almost have to like revamp your entire like everything you do, your entire philosophy. Like Brad Stevens has his share of the ball, like the court tilts to the best players type of philosophy, and like you don't do that with Russell Westbrook. Like Russell Westbrook demands the ball, and it's what makes him great. But it's also I think tough, and we've seen it in Oklahoma City. It's tough to like sustain what you want to do. And the, I read this somewhere. I forget, but it was a great point. Like, the Thunder have a really good place for Russell Westbrook because they have those big guys who hit the offensive glass. And when he gets to the paint and creates these opportunities, like, they have Cantor, they have Adams to crash the glass and make the best of those opportunities, even when he's flinging up crap. And he sometimes does do that. So it's like when you trade for Russell Westbrook, you're not only risking that maybe he'll walk in a year or two, you're also like shifting everything you've ever done to become Russell Westbrook. And that can be really good. Like, he's an unbelievable player, but it would also represent a philosophical change from any organization, I think, that would add him. And obviously he's a type of player that, like, it's worth it a lot of the times, but that's something you have to think about when you try to acquire Russell Westbrook.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fine though. Like, I think sometimes we get a little bit too caught up in what coaches have done in the past, and you try to use that as a predictor of what they actually want to do in the future. Like with Dwight Howard going to Atlanta, a lot of people say, how's he going to fit in Mike Budenholzer's system? Like, Mike Budenholzer has played a very particular way because he's only had one type of roster during his time in Atlanta. Like, I don't think – and Mike Budenholzer is controlling player personnel there. So Mike Budenholzer is aware that Dwight Howard doesn't necessarily fit in that type of motion that he was, you know, share the ball offense that Atlanta was using before too. Dwight Howard is a different type of player than, you know, Al Horford, who he's replacing. You know, Mike Budenholzer is a smart guy who I think, with the way that Atlanta has played their offseason, I think Budenholzer is going to play a slightly different type of offense than what he has in the past, because – it's a different type of personnel. And I think certain coaches are able to change and adapt depending on their roster. Not all of them. Some of them have you know, systems that they you know, stick by, and they find players to fit in their system. But I think sometimes we look at coaches and figure, well, he's coached this way for the past 3 years, and it's the only time he's been a head coach, so he has no idea how to coach another way. And I think we have to give coaches a little more, especially someone like Brad Stevens, who – you know, I think would be very happy to have, and I know you weren't implying otherwise, but, you know, Brad Stevens would be very happy to have a top five player and cater his offense to that guy, and wouldn't really mind coming up with some new offensive sets if it meant having like one of the three best point guards in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's a good prize. You know, that's a good trade off. Like, okay, we won't have as much ball movement maybe, but like, we'll have Russell Westbrook, you know? So. Pretty good trade-off there.
Controversial statement. Here's my controversial. I actually do have a controversial statement. Here's my controversial statement. Uh-oh. Ball movement, overrated. There's so much pointless ball movement out there. Like, there's so many unnecessary passes and passes for the sake of passing. Like, we see it in. It's just like a buzzword, but we see it in college all the time. Like just pointless ball movement. Just passing across the perimeter. Ball movement isn't any good if you don't have player movement. Like, you need – and, like, you can still have player movement without a ton of ball movement. So you need to have smart coaching and smart players to complement that. But, like, you can have good player movement to complement Russell Westbrook's, you know, with lots of dribbling.
I don't think that was a controversial statement. I'm a little disappointed that wasn't more controversial after what you said.
I'm sorry to let you down. I'll think of something else, something better.
Something a little crazier. Anyway, we should probably wrap this up. We've talked about Sam Presti's fashion sense. We've talked about Russell Westbrook. We've talked about the Oklahoma City Thunder. And it really is. It's a fascinating situation over there. And I'm really interested to see what happens, whether he signs that extension, whether they're forced to explore the trade market, where he goes, how he plays. It'll be something to watch for now. And I think for this whole season, what is Russell Westbrook going to do after no longer being teammates with Kevin Durant? Really appreciate you coming on, Fred. Really appreciate this collaboration of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jay King, representing the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. He is Fred Katz from the Norman Transcript, representing the Locked On Thunder podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Subscribe to us on Audio Boom. Subscribe to us wherever else you listen to podcasts. he's like a five-star rating type of guy. We're more like a 2 to 3 star average type of podcast. but you should give us 5 stars anyway. And yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening.